Hello, everyone. My name is Jared Altick, and I'm a chaplain with the police department. It's really kind of funny that I've published over 70 episodes and bonus episodes about life in law enforcement, and I still haven't really done a SWAT episode. Well, I can fix that. Recently, my friend Matt Domiencic, the tactical chaplain, flew in to Kansas City from California to speak at a SWAT conference. So I kidnapped him from the convention center and brought him back to my office so that I could interview him talking about wellness for SWAT officers. Matt has a tremendous amount of expertise about health in law enforcement. He was a Division I athlete, he was a cop and a SWAT guy, and he's well-educated in multiple wellness-related fields. And now, he's a chaplain in Southern California. Listen closely as Matt lays out some of the good and bad in regard to being healthy as a SWAT team member, and make sure that you catch what he says are good steps that need to be taken both by the department and by the individual cop. Here's Matt Domiencic. Oh, and yes, here in a few seconds, Matt is going to say that he and I hooked up in California. God bless him, but here in Kansas, we just call that visiting a friend. Matt, how are you today?
I'm doing great, thank you.
I'm glad you're here today. Nice to actually have you in person.
Yeah, this is a change. Although we did hook up in California as well.
Yeah, that was good. Last fall, went out to visit you and went out to walk the pier. And instead, we just stood and talked about chaplains for like an hour and a half while my wife was
very patient.
Yes. She's had 27 years of learning to be patient with me, and so she's a wonderful woman. So I want to talk to you about SWAT wellness.
Okay.
Our SWAT officers are some high-speed, low-drag, high-performing type individuals. At least that's certainly what they aspire to be, and many of them are.
Yeah.
But with that comes extra stress and being called out at all hours and that kind of thing. And so do you have, maybe if you're talking to a SWAT officer, what is maybe at the front of your mind as far as what this officer might be dealing with wellness-wise?
Well, so a difference with SWAT officers, a lot of them are into their fitness, obviously, because definitely full-time, but a lot of part-time team standards. They're into working out. They're into their nutrition. A lot of them these days might be into the biohacking or the other things that are all good about wellness. However, there may be higher expectations to never maybe show the, quote, weakness or show where they might be struggling because they are SWAT. And they have much, much higher expectations for themselves and others as well. I think about myself. As I was going through my things, I shied away from letting people know what was really going on. Because perhaps if you're the SWAT guy, you're the guy that pushes the envelope and everything, and you're supposed to be kind of a role model in, say, the fitness, the fighting, the shooting, especially in the smaller departments where they rely on SWAT guys that are still on patrol. Well, you don't want to be a burden to anyone else. And like, say, when I was going through my dark times, I didn't want to show. It wasn't that I was like, oh, my God, I don't want anybody to know I'm weak, because I had no problems with going to my spiritual director. I was in therapy. But I didn't want to drag my buddies down, right? Like, I'm the guy that does ministry. I'm the guy that meditates. I'm the guy that loves God and tries to cheer other people up. So I can't let other people see that I'm broken right now. Or even if you're not broken, but I'm down, I'm not in like a very good place. So I mean, at least that was my personal experience. And with a lot of the SWAT guys I deal with, maybe that's like part of it is you're the NFL football player. You're the NHL hockey guy. Like, you don't show when you're down.
So let me see if I can summarize that. So on the pro side, these guys are probably more fit than your average cop. They're more fitness aware than your average cop. But then on the other hand, with that SWAT label comes extra pressure. And they're expected, there's expectations. That's probably the better word. Expectations that okay, we are high performing, you know, almost like professional athletes. We're not supposed to be weak or unreliable or broken down, and so they don't want to admit.
And that's every individual's, like, it'll be different per every individual, but I assume that's a lot of people, just like a lot of elite athletes or CEOs or the more alpha male you are, the less you want to let other people down, the less you want to be a burden. And another problem is, and I admitted this was one of my problems too, is they will push it too hard. So like when after I got medically retired and I was able to work out again, there were times when I should have been spending more time with my mental or emotional self-care, but I was doing Krav Maga, Muay Thai, lifting weights with NFL guys all in the same day.
Yeah.
Like staying busy when things get hard, it's unconsciously a lot of the times. You're a type A person, you're an alpha male. Cops in general can be bad at all this stuff, right? But then if it's a SWAT guy, like they might be working out too much, taking their diet to the extreme, and they're doing things that they actually think are helping them rather than recharging their battery, hitting the reset button, spending more time with your spouse and your children or your friends, and doing things that are what I was talking about is training the parasympathetic nervous system, learning how to take your foot off the gas and tap the brakes a little. Because if you're constantly pumping adrenaline and cortisol, that's why cops have a higher disease rate of cancers, heart problems, 10 to 22 year shorter lifespan. Constantly mashing the gas pedal on a car, like redlining it, it's not going to last for 300,000 miles.
Right.
Like, so SWAT guys, a lot of the times in their personal professional lives, are driving themselves like a drag car. And a drag car gets a couple runs down the strip and they got to rebuild the engine and the transmission.
For a quarter mile.
A quarter mile, whatever it is.
This isn't a, well, I guess I don't know either, but I'm not the expert on automotive sports, but it's high speed, high intensity for short period. It's not meant to be a marathon.
Yeah.
And yet your law enforcement career is kind of a marathon.
It definitely is compared to the military. If you're a Division I athlete, you have a strength conditioning staff, a sports medicine staff, a sports psychology staff, a clinical psychology staff. They give you your protein shakes. You go to a meal table. You get the food given to you. You have cheerleaders. And you have somebody making sure you're hydrated. We call them water boys back in the day. Now they're managers.
Hydration specialists.
Yeah. And then you have an off season. And every week, say, if you use football as an analogy, maybe Monday and Tuesday you're hitting full pads, Wednesday's half pads, Thursday's 50% speed, Friday's walking through with your helmet. You're resting and recovering and tapering off before your game day. Cops, every day is game day potentially. There's no off season. Even our special operators are not always deployed. And when they come back, they've adopted the Division I model. They have strength and conditioning staff, sports psychologists, clinical psychologists, nutrition, sports medicine. They get taken care of. Cops these days, especially because of staffing, it's worse now than it's ever been. Mm-hmm. Forced overtime. The SWAT teams are too short. We don't even have enough regular cops. They're not getting enough sleep. And it's
the average SWAT operator who is part-time SWAT, he has a regular job at the department with patrol or wherever else, and certainly doesn't have those kinds of resources available to him. That's pretty rough. Now, you mentioned sports. You actually have some background in this. You're not just talking from a fan's perspective.
Yeah.
You've got some Division I athletic experience, both as an athlete and as somebody helping athletes. And then you have some experience with the NFL Combine. Can you kind of run down that real quick?
So I played football and was a competitive power lifter for the Air Force Academy my first 2 years of undergrad. Then I finished up my college linebacker career at Colgate University. For a number of years, I was assistant coach, strength and conditioning coach at Yale. I ended up as an interim head strength coach, but I was also a cop the whole time, too, and I didn't want to be a cop in Connecticut anymore because it's like the whole country is now. They were 23 years ago,
right.
Like very anti-cop. So then I was a strength coach at Georgetown. So Yale and Georgetown strength coach and doing sports ministry, and then in retirement, strength conditioning coach and sports psychology consultant at a private facility called Velocity for a lot of different athletes. And every year we had NFL Combine prep for an agency that was first through third rounders.
Okay. So you've seen, high performance athletes, people that are on the threshold of a professional career who are also managing expectations, stress, pressure from family and what their work will be.
Yeah.
And, I assume they all handled it just fine, right?
Yeah, they don't handle it well, and they have all of those resources I'm talking about.
Yeah, so that's part of every luxury.
Yeah.
And still some of them flame out, and crash and burn.
Yeah, so, a lot of the same mentality with these SWAT guys, because I see it in California, the most fit guys, they're the most dedicated and disciplined, which I love. These are the most passionate guys, but they're on duty or on call, and they're doing workouts, like challenging each other to go harder and harder and harder. But it's like, did the Kansas City Chiefs wake up the morning of the Super Bowl and run suicide sprints and do burpees until they threw up a couple hours before the game? So let's train smarter, not harder. So they think that, and with all of the best intentions in the world, they're SWAT guys that are pushing the gas in every area of their life, like way too much.
Yeah.
Not taking their foot off the gas to go on a surfing trip with Rob or to go on a fishing trip with me or just call time out themselves. And when they call time out, I'm not, you know, this is like not a difficult thing for me to talk about, because the science is like alcohol destroys your testosterone and your deep restorative sleep. Alcohol puts you to sleep faster, but then it disrupts the deep restorative sleep. And if you had an Oura Ring or a Garmin watch or one of these things recording it, there's cops that are now noticing one or two beers before bed, and the next day my energy and my mental and physical readiness is garbage. But unfortunately, like, alcohol is another big thing that even if you quote take time off, you're drinking beer with your buddies.
Yeah.
You're not really repairing and restoring your mind, your body, your spirit.
Yeah, I get that all the time. I get cops that say that, you know, well, I keep waking up in the middle of the night. And my first question is, what were you drinking before you went to bed? I'm not saying you can't drink. I'm just saying that might be what's interrupting your sleep and why you don't feel rested, why you don't feel good. I mean, that's a pretty basic self-care kind of thing that, that, you know, let's just stop drinking before you go to bed. And you can drink some other time, right? But but don't drink right before you go to bed. And that might do a world of good for you.
If they're tracking their sleep well, and also I wish I would have known that caffeine in the second half of the day has a long half-life. You can fall asleep, but if you're tracking your sleep and your heart rate variability, it's all also pushing the gas pedal still. So you're not getting a full recharge of your cell phone battery with caffeine in the second half of your shift, or alcohol before bed, or eating food before bed. And then here's another thing that's probably a lot of SWAT guys are worried about: losing muscle tissue. Well, we were taught in sports nutrition, you should have protein every 2 to 3 hours. And then right after you work out, and definitely it used to be drink a protein shake and have a high protein meal before bed so you don't lose muscle. Well, food right before bed disrupts your deep quality sleep as well. So does technology, and every one of us is playing around on the cell phones as well before we go to bed, and the TVs and the LED lights. So these are things that our departments, as far as I know, there's not many departments teaching any of the cops this, and the SWAT guys are the Division I athletes. And even the, I don't know, you know, I was on a big department. I still don't think all of these, quote, wellness things that the athletes are getting, no cops or SWAT teams are getting either. Yeah. Even if they have a budget, it's just not on the radar. So,
well, let's talk about some of the structural things from a department's point of view, because some people listening to this might be in a position of authority where they could make a difference. Sometimes there are structures within a department that prevent a SWAT officer from self-reporting that they are struggling with something, that they need help, that they need some extra kind of assistance. What kind of things have you seen, maybe, or just heard secondhand that you know, officers, SWAT officers specifically, you know, what kind of resistance do they run into?
Well, one of the things with the SWAT officer is if I ask for help and they're going to take me off the SWAT team and they're going to put me on a light duty job away from my buddies. And say, if you read the book, Sebastian Younger, Tribe, about veterans, it's not that veterans miss war. They miss authentic relationships where they really relied on each other. And so these SWAT officers are on a tighter unit than patrol, and then you get hurt or you ask for help, then you get removed. Like, that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
And I know some guys that didn't get to go back on their SWAT team because now somebody says you have a mental health issue, when it's normal for you to need a break after you've seen these types of incidents or been involved in these incidents. So they're going to worry about losing their spot on the team for sure. Are getting pulled from their buddies. And let's think about athletes again. If you're an athlete and you get hurt, I know when I was hurt in college, team meetings required, linebacker meetings. I had to go to the training room all the time, but I was still at practice. I was still at the games. But They didn't say, hey, Matt, you're hurt, and while you're rehabbing, you're with the soccer team.
Right.
But
right.
That's what we do with cops, whether they're patrol or SWAT. And it's an even tighter bond on SWAT. So to get pulled or risk, you know, a regular cop worries about fit for duty, repercussions, I won't get promoted, or maybe I won't make SWAT, canine or detective, if I ask for help. Well, if you're already on SWAT and there's so limited slots on SWAT, I don't want to risk losing that, especially if I'm a full-time guy. My gosh.
Yeah.
Because these days, there are some departments where morale is so bad in patrol, and patrol officers have horrible liability. Am I going to be the next person that's on a cell phone video and that they're going to bench and investigate me, even if I'm in the right? And people don't understand, they're at home, the newspapers, the media is lying, they can't defend themselves. Them and their spouses and children are dealing with death threats. And in the end, the department doesn't fire them a year or two later and say, so no harm, no foul. No. Me and my family suffered greatly. So these guys on these SWAT teams now, they do not want to go back to patrol, because some departments, it's so miserable to be patrolling anywhere in America right now. You're a liability. Where it used to be fun to get in a pursuit, and dare I say, a use of force, as long as everybody was okay, even the criminal, you get up, you dust yourself off, you kind of laugh. Like now you get in the pursuit, you get in a fight, and you're like, oh my God, I hope I'm not going to get in trouble. Hope I'm not going to get sued. The DA may charge me with a crime. It's a whole new ball game as a cop. A lot of places in America, patrol officers are alone.
Yeah.
And to be honest, like I would tell you my experience, because people be like, SWAT is so dangerous. And I haven't seen all the action these guys have. But I'm with the baddest people in the department that, like, my SWAT tryout started with 100, and you had to meet all these qualifications. Only 50 made it through this initial thing. And then only 30 got to go to SWAT school. Then only 3 got picked.
Mm.
So these are the ex-college athletes, the ex-military, like the best of the best.
And you're choosing when it happens.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
SWAT is even a better job than it was before, I think, because of some of these other reasons. So you don't want to lose your spot on SWAT.
Is there a solution? Is there a one-size-fits-all solution for this? Or is this something that these supervisors and managers and chiefs are going to have to find a way to help the SWAT officer without pulling him away from his team?
Well, you can help any police officer. There's so few departments that do this. And I think during COVID, because of budgets, this may have gone away. But there's something anonymous blind billing, where there's a system in place that anyone in that police department, their family, can go to any therapist they want.
Mm.
And no notes and no name is ever given to the department.
Mm.
There's a number that you have that verifies that you're with that department. You can use a list of therapists they provide or choose your own, because the confidentiality is such a concern for cops. Even if they use EA, you know, if I use my department psych, they're not supposed to, but there's the worry they're going to tell somebody.
Yeah.
Even if I use EAP, are those notes going back to the department? Guys won't even use their own insurance. I'm like, HIPAA, like if you use your own insurance, like they don't know, they're not getting the notes at the department. Guys will pay out of pocket to avoid the risk or even the thought of somebody hearing about what they're going through. So if departments wanted to emphasize mental health in general, do anonymous blind billing, but also have wellness programs for all the officers, not just SWAT, because everybody's collecting trauma before they get on SWAT, and then they just may collect more trauma while they're on SWAT. Where are you doing anything about an education on nutrition? Are you allowing fitness on duty? Are you educating them on sleep? Are you providing any type of stress management, self-regulation? There's very few departments that do have some kind of meditation or mindfulness or yoga options, or at least fitness on duty, or being able to sign up for other classes that are proactive. Because right now, mental health chaplains and peer support are reactive to PTSD, addiction, suicide, or somebody's in trouble. So it's all stigmatized. You only talk to these people when you're broken or weak or, it's all reactive and after the point.
And then it comes with a stigma.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where if you brought in like a powerlifting chaplain, for instance, if you brought them in advance and built rapport with that SWAT team in advance of this, then there wouldn't be a stigma if somebody else in the department sees them talking to the chaplain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So whether it's chaplain, mental health professionals, like if departments could afford more of them, and get more of them that are culturally competent and they're not just responding to crisis and a critical incident to do a debrief, well, then it's not a stigma to talk to, like in my example, it's not a stigma to talk to me because I'm riding along, I stop at the station.
You're there all the time.
Yeah, so it's not like, dude, somebody must have a problem, they're talking to Matt. It's like they're probably talking to Matt about eating ribeyes, like literally.
Yeah.
So somebody can talk to me about their marriage or an injury or a call without them fearing that, you know, it's something else.
So Matt, you have a SWAT team, they have a training regimen, and they're training on those skills all the time.
Yeah.
What could they add to that training regimen that would help out with wellness?
A simple thing is just adding in different types of breath work. So at the end of every SWAT workout, even if you're a part-time team, when you get together two times a month or is it once a week, whenever, at the end of, say, your PT session, do some breath work. Do some long holds on your stretches to train the parasympathetic nervous system. You know, have some times where you guys have barbecues and it's not drinking beer and talking about sports, sex, politics, or toys. Get real and talk about your family lives and other things stressing you out and intentionally not be getting hammered, but definitely simple things like breath work. I know it might sound woo-woo depending on you where you are, but like there's Navy SEALs and Special Forces guys that are teaching yoga, meditation, mindfulness.
Not just the ones in California.
Yeah. So, and like I said at this conference is, I know a bunch of tier one Special Forces guys, SWAT people, and elite athletes that do now do gratitude journaling, breath work, meditation, yoga. They do art projects. They may do music, but they waited until PTSD, addiction, or their third divorce, and they were or suicidal, and they go on one of these retreats where there's retreats where you can do, unfortunately, there's not more of them. I wish I had funding to do them in a proactive way. But if you're on the ledge with suicide, addiction, and PTSD, you go on a retreat. You do breath work, meditation, yoga, journaling, things in nature, art projects. You talk to a therapist. You share your sacred story with other first responders and veterans. If that helps people when they're on the ledge, it'll help people in a proactive, and there's science behind all this too, and training the parasympathetic nervous system and neuroplasticity. The easiest, least intimidating thing I think I can mention is breath work. So there's no woo-woo attached to it.
Yeah.
But if you were doing intentional breath work and holding long stretches after your SWAT workouts and encouraging people to do it every day, 5 to 10 minutes a day, and take something as simple as walking. Walking lowers your blood sugar, your blood pressure, and improves your mood, and it helps you process things. If you're doing it in nature where it's quiet, being in nature, silence, solitude, immersion in nature, and turning off your cell phone will train the parasympathetic nervous system. In Japan, the doctors prescribe forest bathing. They build little things.
What is that?
Yeah, spending time in nature, paying attention to your senses, looking at the horizon, because we're all looking at our phones, or when we're focused, we have tunnel vision. Mm-hmm. Just look up at the sky or the horizon and pay attention. Do I feel the sun on my face? Do I feel the cool breeze? Do I hear the birds? Like, pay attention to your senses. That's a form of meditation or mindfulness that calms down the nervous system. It recharges your battery. It'll improve your testosterone. See, the guys don't get it that there's a ton of cops in general getting on testosterone at a very young age. If you're not getting quality sleep, your testosterone's low. If you're not eating appropriately, your testosterone's low. If you don't work out enough or you work out too much, your testosterone's low. If you're not managing your stress, your testosterone's going to be low. And you can get away with a lot more when you're younger. Yeah. But as you get older, it'll catch up to you. So sleep, exercise, nutrition, and stress management, these are things that you can incorporate into SWAT training days. They have more power over their training than patrol does. Because it's a nightmare for patrol to get everything approved. If you're a SWAT team leader, it's like, dude, we're going to do some breath work. Maybe we are going to do, I'm not going to have them do a gratitude journal, but like, let's go around and talk about what we're thankful for in our personal life or what we're thankful for on this job. And it just might be the brotherhood and the fact that I get to lift weights on duty and hit the range and be more proficient at these things than patrol that never gets this type of training. So let's just talk about things we're thankful for: breath work, yoga, meditation, mindfulness. Hold your long stretches. Incorporate that stuff into your SWAT training. Those are some ways that I think are easy. And I even had a department that we were going to try to do peer support training like that, and call it Pujitsu peer support. So let the patrol people get to do some running and gunning on steel, do some jujitsu, and they were going to do some breathing, yoga, mindfulness, and sharing our stories or gratitude and things like that.
Yeah. That's excellent, Matt. Thank you so much for coming in and talking to me about this. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure to be here at your church. Wow. Instead of doing this over the phone. Yeah.
We've every recording we've done together so far has been over the phone. And so it's great to sit across the desk from you. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Jared.
One of the joys of doing this podcast is meeting people like Matt and becoming good friends with him. He does incredible work with cops in Southern California. But you might be thinking, when I retire, I'm going to move somewhere cheap. I can't imagine moving to one of the most expensive places just to help other cops. Well, you're not wrong. Matt lives like a monk to be a missionary to those cops. So if you'd like to help him out, please visit his website, tacticalchaplain.com, to see how you can help. The views expressed here are the personal views of the host and our guests and do not necessarily represent the views of any law enforcement agency or its components. If you like this episode, please share it with a cop or someone who loves a cop. Thank you for listening to Hey Chaplain, and as always, pray for peace in our city.